one of my cherished memories is that she would never give me art supplies for Christmas or my birthdays. She would say, well, you don't have to have a gift when you, for oxygen. It's not a gift. You always have it. You need it to live. Your art is how you breathe. That's how you express yourself.
Hey there, Wild One. What if one of the most powerful tools for building confidence, resilience, and creative thinking is something that we've been treating as optional? Today's guest has spent decades challenging this idea. Mark Kistler, an Emmy Award-winning artist and beloved public television educator, has taught millions of people how to draw. But his real mission goes far beyond art. We talk about confidence, creativity, and something Mark calls the license to flop, which is the freedom to try, fail, and grow without fear. In this conversation, we explore why drawing belongs alongside reading, writing, and math as a foundational skill, how it shapes the way kids think, process the world, and believe in themselves. From classrooms to NASA collaborations, it's all about protecting creativity in a screen-filled world. This is a conversation about why art isn't extra. It's essential. If you've ever wondered how to help your kids believe in themselves, take creative risks, or simply enjoy learning again, this conversation's for you. Let's dive in. Reclaim your rhythm. Rethink the rules. Rewrite your life. This is Wildly Intentional, the show where we question the scripts we've inherited and build a life, family, and legacy on purpose. If you're done living on autopilot, come with a curious mind and a courageous heart. Here, we talk about what it means to question, unlearn, create, and build what truly matters. I'm your host, Mandy, maverick mom of three, maker, family culture builder, lifelong question asker, and the friend people call when they're ready to rethink, well, everything. I'm here to shake the norms, tell the truth, and light the way forward. Mark, thank you so much. We just got off a live drawing that you did with the kids, and I've got to say, we've drawn with you on YouTube a lot. And so I don't know if you know this, but you just made three dreams come true by doing
that. Your kids, they did wonderful. They were so great. And I really liked how you you had them participating with me. And I really appreciate that you sent me a little note saying that Liam struggles a bit with his confidence, because that's really it's a very, very important benefit of drawing. Drawing builds self-esteem. Drawing builds confidence. Drawing builds ability to express yourself. Drawing is fun. Drawing is joyful. And just to be able to give the kids permission to make mistakes, to just to remind them and lift them up and let them know that, hey, the mistakes are great. Scribbles, noodle, doodle. It doesn't have to be perfect. And I was able, it was a nice intro for me to introduce Brooke and Liam to my whole stress is on the bus. It's, you know, permission to flap. Give your kids permission to make mistakes, to try, you know, practice makes perfect. I know that's overused, but it's very applicable. Always has been, always will be. The, that whole theme that I was introducing Brooke and Liam to is, you know, stress is on the bus. Give yourself permission to flop. You know, put the sign right here, right? License to flop, right? License.
Yeah.
That comes from NASA. When I was doing the NASA, those 8 1-hour episodes during the pandemic, we were all in our homes, and my friends at NASA, Jack Moore, Patricia Moore, they're artists in the community outreach. They're actually at Kennedy right now, getting ready for the Artemis launch. They're part of the Artemis team. Very excited. I'm seeing pictures on their Facebook. But during the pandemic, everybody was in their homes, remember? It was just a surreal time. And so Jack Moore, Patricia from NASA, and I, we decided to put together a 8-part series about once a month to go live. And it was we wanted to collaborate with the NASA's program called Draw Artemis. They had their artists there that were drawing different components of the Artemis mission for the families and kids in their outreach programs. And I wanted to take it, you know, around the world on YouTube. So we did 8 one-hour lives, and we focused on one element of the Artemis mission to draw, like the SLS rocket was one episode. And these are all still on my Draw 3D website. These are also on my YouTube website. If anybody clicks Mark Kisley on YouTube and then clicks playlist, clicks Draw Artemis. One of the episodes was drawing the glove of the spacesuit. The other was the crawler that the SLS rocket is on as it crawls toward the launch pad. The other is the launch tower. The other is the moon mobile. The other one episode is the Gateway orbiting lunar satellite, which is a really neat concept. But just, 4 days ago, NASA made that huge announcement that they're not going to do that. They're going to take all those components and just go straight to the moon and start building the habitat on the moon within 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about it. So we have that episode about a piece of the Artemis program that's not going to be used or not going to be built. But circling back to the give yourself permission, license to flop, what I heard again and again and again from the NASA engineers and scientists and astronauts is, you know, they test every system, every component, every piece to failure. They test to failure. And I thought, that's just fascinating. The seal on the glove, or the rocket thrusters, or the hatches and the latches that hold up the SLS rocket to the launch tower, everything is tested to failure. And I asked the students, you know, do you understand that? They keep going until it breaks. So they know where the breaking point is, and then they can strengthen and fix it or know when to stop. And that's how they learn. And so that's how, so it applies right to anything you're trying to learn, basketball or writing poetry or dancing or drawing. Okay. You keep, give yourself permission to make mistakes, and you get better and better and better. The better you get, the more confident you're going to get. And the more you're going to enjoy it, and the more you enjoy it, the more you're going to want to practice more, and you're going to get better, and you're going to enjoy it more. So you're going to want to practice. So what I call, it's in one of the books that you were talking about that I've written, it's the self-perpetuating success will. You know, the more you do it, the more you practice, the more skill you build, the more confidence you have, the more you enjoy it, the more desire you have to do it. So it just gets big. It's like a snowball. It gets better and bigger, 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 bigger. It goes along. So test to failure, give yourself license to make mistakes. And I enjoyed explaining that to Liam and Brooke this morning.
They loved it. And it kept Liam going, which is part of it. You know, I think when you're the youngest one drawing with you, a professional artist, and then me trying and an older sister, you're constantly comparing your drawing to three people. And I keep telling them, you know, Mark's been drawing for 50, 60, I don't know how many years, right? Like, he is really good.
100 years.
That's a long time. You've been drawing for 5 years, honey. Like, it's not going to look like his, but it looks better than how you drew it last time. You know, like, you're, to your point, you're getting better. You're doing a good job. So
yeah, it's great. See, I enjoy the scribbles almost more than I enjoy the final drawings. I love just beginning stages. I mean, Picasso spent his whole life trying to draw like a Liam 7-year-old drawing. So,
well, Mark, we just kind of jumped in, and I don't know that everybody that listens to me knows who you are. And that's what I'm excited about today, is to introduce many, many people to you, because Mark, you've changed the Weber family's lives in so many ways and enriched our drawing and given us such a creative outlet that we've really, really enjoyed you. For us, it started, I mean, a lot of my listeners know I'm a big fan of the 80s and 90s. 85 is when I was born. So we grew up watching TGIF, and I did an episode on the power of the 90s. And you were a titan in the 90s, right there with LeVar Burton and Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers. And you have your documentary, The Secret Cities of Mark Kisler. We watched that as a family and just were enthralled with how intentional you were about your show and you have all these amazing books that we have. I've been seeing you in the homeschooling circuit about how do you get your kids to draw, and people were recommending Draw Squad. And so that's how we got turned on to you. But do you want to tell us a little bit about who is Mark Kistler? What have you done that you're proud of, and your mission?
Well, I think that the most important thing that I try to share with my students, I visit about 100 events a year, elementary schools and art museums, art galleries, universities. Love it. That's my happy spot. That's my happy zone. When I'm 62 years old. I've been teaching for, what, as you said, 109 years. And I just love the live interaction, seeing their responses, hearing their responses, and being able to draw and build their confidence and build their skill. And I guess the important thing is I did it today with your kids is encouraging them to explore possibilities. You know, that drawing opens up that world of awe and splendor and imagination and creativity. And the world is desperate for more creativity and more imagination. Mm-hmm. And that channels into joy and kindness and love. But the possibilities of, if just let's say take that narrow focus of drawing, of the visual arts, if your kids or any of the viewers out there, if they really get turned on to drawing, which happens when you start getting that self-perpetuating successful, you start getting more and more skilled and confident and delighted with your drawing, maybe you want to pursue it as a career for the junior high and high school kids. And so I show them the images of my past students who have become animators with DreamWorks and Pixar and Marvel Comics and Lego and Disney. And they all started the same way. I went to their schools, or I went into their classrooms, or they read my books, and they got inspired, and they realized they really like to draw. Maybe they can turn this into a career. So I really encourage all my students to explore that possibility and to explore their curiosity. And right back again to, it's okay when you're drawing, you got it. The bottom line is to draw every day. Draw. Same if you want to be a writer or a poet or a baseball player or a dancer, you know, just kind of do it every day. You got to practice every day. Dreams do come true. It's really hard. It takes a lot of work, like you, this amazing podcast that you're doing, and you have all these listeners, and it started just from nothing, from an idea, just this,
yeah.
And you've created something out of nothing, and it takes a lot of, we were just talking about that, how your podcast takes 9 hours at least for a 1 hour podcast. Now, I do my 15-minute lives every day, right? I'm on day number 455.
That's
yes,
incredible.
Amazing. I'm totally impressed with myself. But the fact is, I mean, it takes a couple hours to get it all ready, to record it, multiple cameras. And then, you know, back when I was, you know, a little youngster back, you know, 18, 19, 20, we had a whole team, camera guys, directors, floor directors from the different public television stations doing it. Now we have an entire TV studio right in our laptop computer. It just takes a lot of, you know, layers going on. So exploring your possibilities, be willing to make the mistakes and work really hard. Dreams do come true. I was telling you earlier, I keep on reading these and seeing these things on, you know, my social media. You know, we all get sucked into the scrolls. Like, I can't believe I just wasted 20 more minutes. Oh my gosh. Right. And this really disturbing ideas coming out that dreamers are like losers. Dreamers don't get things done, and don't dream. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? Dreams are crucial. Dreams are critical. Dreams define our human existence. The whole reason we're going to the moon and Mars is from dreamers, from dreams. Yes, you have to make those tangible strategic steps to make those dreams come true, but you have to have the dream, and you got to push and see your dream and just be obsessed with your dream. So dreamers are critical. Dreamers are important, and dreams do come true with a lot of work. So I'm going to push back against that idea that dreamers don't get things done with all I have in me, because that defines my entire careers, the power of dreams, and the movie that you saw, the power of
I think, Mark, though, you're hitting on something heavy because it's going to continue to be in the forefront, right? Like, I talk a lot about this on the podcast that we need to keep our humanness about us because, yeah, it seems as though humans aren't getting anything done when an AI in 5 seconds, I can do what would take a dreamer years, right? And that's something I think we're going to be up against is in keeping our own creativity, keeping our imaginations alive, and keeping that unique human quality about us. I mean, in your book, Imagination Station, this was so interesting to read, Mark. You talked about the less television, more drawing, a legally binding contract. This book is copyrighted 1994, and you had in there that if they are watching 5 hour days of television, it's equal to 35 hours a week, 140 hours a month, or 1,680 hours a year. And then you say it's 29,960 hours before you reach age 18, which is 1,248 days. What stands out to me about this, Mark, is I wrote this before we had cell phones in our pocket to doom scroll, right? And so when you look at a lot of people that doom scroll and then they sit down and they binge watch Netflix, you know, it's like they're wasting a lot of time where they could be, to your point, dreaming and building and imagining and drawing. And I think that that's just such a, I mean, you wrote this in 94 and I can feel the urgency in what you're trying to say, which is like TV's turning violent and it's a time suck. And now, Mark, well, not even crazier now, though?
Well, I really, a very dear friend of mine, he's a principal in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's principal down there, Rio Vista. Name's Trent. And 7 foot, totally cool principal. Kids and staff just love him. And every year I do a program with him. And last year's and this year's program was emphasizing more soul, less scroll.
Yes.
Emphasizing thinking, reading, writing, drawing, drama, dance, more soul, less scroll. So yeah, it's, we're all aware of it. We're all aware of the need and the importance of it. It's just applying it to our lives and to model it for our kids. And I know what a challenge, because I've raised my kids. And, you know, they had their iPads, they had their phones, and trying to regulate that and monitor it. And it's a huge task, but you have to stay on it. Absolutely. And it's okay to monitor every single thing they do. You're not their friend, you're their parent, you know?
Right.
So just let me see your phone. Oh no, I love you. I trust you, but I'm going to verify, you know? So yeah, I just absolutely gotta get a reading and drawing and engaged in real people.
Yeah. And what I hear from you over and over again, whether it's in your lives that you're doing on YouTube, which we join all the time, or in your books, is, you know, art and drawing should be the fourth R of education, right? Because, I mean, Mark, I thought this was so brilliant. In your book, Draw Squad, you talk about let's approach art education with the same diligence and determination that we pursue math, reading, and writing, not to mention computer literacy. Let's revamp society's old archaic acronym for education. Remember the back to basics with the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic? I propose, and this is Mark Kistler proposes, that we channel the enormous resource of energy that is consumed by computer mania into a national campaign promoting draw curriculum. Drawing, reading, arithmetic, and writing. Mark, this is brilliant. Because
I haven't heard that for a long time. Yeah.
This was like this with my kids. This is so profound. Like, why did this not get national steam? It's amazing.
Well, going back to my whole experience with NASA, they've taken that whole philosophy. By the way, that where I said it was, you know, in reality, it was that a lot of people have these same ideas at the same time. So a lot of art educators were on board. We're all doing the same goal, the same aspirations of getting art to be recognized and be used and be applied in as the core curriculum. And what the educational goals have evolved into nationally is the STEM. You've heard this a lot, yep. STEM, science, technology. It's on the same line of arithmetic, math, and writing as STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And those are all important. They're all noble pursuits. They're all critical for all the things that we're doing and all the, you know, our transportation, our buildings, you know, our, you know, clothing we wear, the space program, everything we do involves that. But it's missing in a really critical component, which is the visual arts, the art. So what NASA and art teachers and I have done is we created this new acronym called STEAM, Full Steam Ahead. And if they go to my YouTube playlist of the Draw Artemis program, drawartemis.com, it's on my playlist on YouTube. Every one of the lessons emphasizes STEAM, full steam ahead. So we'll draw the Orion spacecraft, but underneath it, there'll be a balloon of a character hanging out of a window saying, full steam ahead. And STEAM is science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Yes. And A is really big. Because the science, technology, engineering, and math are all really critical for this, for the human space exploration program. But the artists at NASA are the scribes for the engineers, scientists, and technology folks to convey the splendor and the awe and the wonder of human space exploration for all of us out here in the society. The only way we could understand this incredible journey, this exploration, this adventure we're embarking, continuing to embark with the launch of Artemis II, and what, tomorrow, right, is through the conceptualization and the visualization of these visual artists. NASA has a whole team of artists that do the community outreach. So all the graphics you see on the news and on your scrolls are from the photographers and the artists and the illustrators and the designers, Jack Moore and Patricia Moore being at the top of that, and just incredible visual communicators. I love how they expressed to me they were the scribes for the engineering section, you know, to share with us what they're doing. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, so maybe Draw hasn't caught, but to your point, STEAM has, and that addition of A in STEM has been important, to bring that back and to keep that.
Well, just to keep on improving it from the 90s up here to full steam ahead, you know, it's all the same ideas, getting the visual arts, getting the performing arts, getting the music, keeping them in the schools. I was tickled pink. I was at an elementary school here on Long Island last Friday, and I was getting set up in the cafeteria / auditorium / theater / multipurpose room, right? These rooms are really well used. So I'm setting up my program, my table and the microphone and the camera and the projector. And on the stage behind the curtain, I'm hearing the orchestra rehearsing with the clarinets and the flutes and the trumpets and the drums. They were just so awesome. It's like my own little mini concert. And it was so refreshing to find a school that actually still had the visual arts. They had a visual art teacher, and they had a music teacher on the elementary level, which is very rare. So any of your listeners out there who have a school, an elementary school or junior high school that has visual arts, a visual art teacher, and has a music teacher, cherish it, protect it, encourage it, lift it up. Get the PTA to fund it, to fund your special, combine it, the concerts with the art shows. I used to help Fort Wayne's school district put on in Indiana. They still do this Festival of Art and Music for Elementary School, where the schools out there, they all have elementary art and they all have elementary music and choir. It's incredible, cultural arts out there in Indiana. And they had this one day called FAME, Festival of Art and Music for Elementary School. And I encourage anybody out there to go onto the website and check it out. Fort Wayne, Indiana Festival of Art and Music for Elementary School. Been going on for 30 years. I was one of their first featured guest artists. They have artists that come in every year from all over the world and the tour schools all over the state. And then it culminates at this festival over the weekend where they have anywhere from 40 to 70 elementary schools come converge on this convention center downtown Indiana. And this should be a model for every city in the country. And they have three stages they have going, and then they have this huge area in front. They have all the seating in front of different stages. And then behind the seating, they have a huge area for all the visual arts. And they take refrigerator boxes, cardboard, and they turn them into these four-walled gallery walls. And they make a maze, a labyrinth, out of these refrigerator boxes that they're all painted and covered and look beautiful. And they hang, thousands of kids' art on these. So it's a gallery. So the parents walk through the labyrinth to get to the seating. And the three stages are going continuously for 12 hours each day, Saturday and Sunday. The schools rotate. One school's setting up, one school's performing, one school's getting off the stage. So it rotates. Isn't that interesting?
That's fun.
And they keep it going nonstop every 12 minutes. So I see ADHD, right, squirrel? But just, you got to encourage and support the visual arts and the performing arts in your community.
I think it's great. And I want to talk, Mark, too, about just like how families can integrate a practice. I mean, watching your documentary and getting your books, we kind of, as a family, said, we subscribe to you on YouTube and Instagram. And so whenever you go live, we try to join, because what I love is they are shorter, like, segments that we can draw with. And we're all
wonderful. Thank you, because the average age on my Instagram lives is like 45. So I love, but I make sure everybody's always understanding very clear. It's turbo family oriented, turbo G rated. And I can just encourage the parents to draw, to have have drawing supplies available, have sketchbooks and pencils and color markers and, watercolors. And have my mom, when I was growing up, one of my cherished memories is that she would never give me art supplies for Christmas or my birthdays. She would say, well, you don't have to have a gift for oxygen. It's not a gift. You always have it. You need it to live. Your art is how you breathe. That's how you express yourself. You will always have. And she would always have sketchbooks available. And she got me big rolls of paper that I like to hang on the wall and make murals. And she does that, and all of the supplies. So I just love that art.
That's awesome.
Art supplies are not gifts or oxygen. You don't have to be gifted oxygen to breathe.
Hope it was a real priority. Yeah, it does. It was a priority in your house. Your mom didn't see that as like a gift or a special thing. It was an all the time thing that you need to have in your life. I love that.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was wonderful. I had great memory.
Mark, what I love too is that you're always talking to parents about, this adult mantra that I can't even draw a straight line. And I have to admit, I subscribe to this. Like art wasn't really a priority for me. I didn't practice it a lot. And I found myself saying that to the kids. And so I felt like you myth busted that for me. Like, stop saying that. Like, what example am I to have them do art and to focus on art and then have this dump caveat that I can't draw a straight line?
I would say, first of all, you parents out there, give yourself a lot of grace, because I'm a grandpa, and you're doing a hard and amazing job. So give yourself grace. And the other next thing is, as far as drawing goes, if you can draw the dot, you can draw. I tell that to parents. If you can write, you all write your name. Writing your name is it's a graphic representation of how people identify you. So if you can write your name, if you can write the letter, you can draw. Drawing is just dots and lines put together, and then it's learning how to put them together in certain sequences that creates a drawing, 3D drawing. Again, when I was telling your kids, drawing flat is fine. It's not nothing wrong with it. The most famous artist on the whole planet, the famous cartoonist, Charles Schulz, Snoopy, Lucy, Charlie Brown, Schroeder, Peanuts, drew flat. All his drawings are two-dimensional, and they're known around the world. So there's nothing wrong with drawing 2D. That's what, when you were talking about how Liam, or your daughter, Brooke, was writing a book, and her first drawings were 2D, and then she watched me and her draw. She redid her drawings in 3D. That's wonderful. That's great. But I wanted her to understand too that if she chooses to do 3D, that's fine. It's a wonderful way to express yourself. There's nothing wrong with doing 2D. 3D is just another level. It's just another way to think, way to see, way to express yourself.
Yeah. In your books, Mark, you do a great job of making it easy to draw in 3D. You have concepts like your 10 words of drawing where you're teaching things like foreshortening and shading and surface and size and contour lines, overlapping, shadows.
Those have been around for... They're 500-year-old words. And I actually, you know, over the years, you know, you learn and you add to your tool belt, you know, as you get older and the teaching. And I've added to those to words I've recognized that are just really super important common denominator words that help someone with the drawing skill. And I call them the 12 Renaissance words now because they were really grounded, founded, defined, and applied during the Italian and the French Renaissance back in the, you know, 1490s and 1500s. And you know, artists like Leonardo and Da Vinci and Raphael and, you know, the Ninja Turtles, I say they're the ninja artist, and Michelangelo, they're the ones in that whole time period and all of their, you know, colleagues in that time, they really define this idea of perspective, which means, you know, basically alignment. Perspective is rooted in the ancient Greek language of, I get confused, Latin or Greek, I forget. But it's the ancient language, spect is the root word, right? Perspective, which means to view, right? To see, so like my glasses, here they are right here. The spectacles, right? To see, to view, spectator, right? It's rooted in spec. You can Google this. Latin or Greek, I always get my, I'm a grandpa, pulling the grandpa card.
That's okay.
But spectator, right? To see, to view an event, spectacular, to view something amazing. Inspection, right? To view clues, inspector. Speculate, right? To view possibility. Spectrum, right? The light range, to view range. So language fascinates me, and that, and the whole idea of perspective being rooted in the idea to view near and far, to view depth. So when I'm teaching folks to draw in 3D, I'm teaching them how to create this illusion. It's all through distortion and squishing and learning how to use these, what I call the 12 Renaissance words that these artists have developed over 500 years to create that illusion. And I didn't invent them. I'm just teaching what my art teacher taught me, what his art teacher taught him, that her art teacher taught him back, you know, generations and generations. So they're very powerful. And they're all in all my books, and they're free on my website. If you go to markkistler.com, click that little menu thing, and you can see free printables. And we can print up these words. And their concepts, they've always been and always will be really applicable to creating that illusion.
And I'll link to all of Mark's stuff in the show notes. And he's also got summer camps coming up for kids, and he has virtual things, and he's going live daily 455 days in a row on YouTube and Instagram. So make sure to give Mark a like and a follow.
I'm going to circle back to the virtual summer camps. I just opened the links up. I'm real excited. I have 4 different weeks of virtual summer camps for families all over the world, any time zone. So check out my website. Go to art camp, scroll down. I'm doing a bunch of in-person summer camps, which I love, my happy place, locally in Southern California, and one over in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for all of you Fort Wayne folks at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. And then lots of virtual. So pick a time zone you want to draw with and pick a theme, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
And if you haven't yet, check out his amazing documentary, completely kid-friendly. We watched it as a family and just absolutely loved it. It's The Secret Cities of Mark Kistler. Mark, one final question before I let you go. You mentioned in that documentary that your goal was 1 million kids. I feel like you've hit it. What's your goal now?
That was,
like, how many lives have you touched, and what's your goal now?
I had set that goal to teach 1 million kids how to draw when I was like 17, and finally got the goal through when I was 21 with this, what Broadcast Secret City. And then It's been aired around the world, you know, for 40 years, that one. And then my other series, Imagination Station, and all my books. So, I've been able to reach millions and millions and millions. I call them my learning viewers now. Now I'm really enjoying the process of getting people introduced to the joy and the fun of learning to draw and drawing every day on my lives, mostly on Instagram. I like to do simulcast on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook together, but as you know, it's really tough. So when I'm traveling, it's just on Instagram. I can use my phone to do it. And we're at 2 million. We hit 2 million learning viewers since January 1st, 2025. So about a year and a half, right? And the goal was to get to 1 million, and I got to 1 million. Then we changed the goal now to 5 million. And those are learning viewers. Those are folks who have commented or follow or subscribe. So if you do, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, by the way, for the Wildly Intentional. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe, put all kinds of comments. And same with my website on Instagram, yeah, Facebook, and YouTube. Be sure to subscribe because that makes us feel good, us content creators. So look, I got another subscriber or follower. You know?
And Mark, so, well,
thank you for your time and for you're doing great work. I love it that what you're doing and that you're making it happen. You know,
that's just a wonderful thing. If you jump on one of Mark's lives, you know, he's always asking, where are you joining from? And he tracks the countries and the states. And so it's really interactive in that way. The kids just lose it when he's like, Iowa. Oh, hi, Brooke. Hi, Liam. So if you leave him comments, he makes it interactive and fun. He's always engaging with people in the lives. And when Mark Kistler goes live, everybody's hearing about it in our house because we're drawing and showing dad drawings. So Mark, thank you so much for drawing with the kids and I this morning. Thank you for being on an episode with me. And thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
Well, we've been talking about doing this for
over a year.
Months, so it's wonderful.
Yeah. And I want to thank you on behalf of all your listeners and followers, Mark. Like, you're an inspiration, showing up the way that you do and sharing your positivity and your drawing and your skills. We're lucky to have you in the world. You're a lighthouse.
Thank you.
I'm
giving you a little heart on the camera. All right. Well, lots of love. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know it's fun.
Bye-bye. Thank you. I truly just love Mark. I love listening to Mark and seeing how he is just so motivated to embody creativity and inspire others. If this conversation sparks something in you, don't stop here. You can go back and watch our live drawing session that we did with Mark and my kids. It's the perfect way to take these ideas out of your earbuds and onto a page in your real life. You'll be able to see the license to flop in action in that live video with Mark. And you may even feel inspired to draw along yourself. So head on over to YouTube, follow me there, and make sure to give Mark a like as well and follow his page. And then you can draw with him whenever you want because he's going live on YouTube and Instagram every day. That in itself is inspiring. I've linked to all of Mark's resources, his books and his upcoming art camps in the show notes, so you can keep exploring, creating, and building confidence at home. And if this episode resonated with you, share it with another parent or an educator or a creative thinker that's in your life. That's how we grow in community. Make sure to follow Wildly Intentional so you don't miss what's next. This is Mandy signing off. Until next time, my friend, stay rooted, be brave, and live wildly intentional.